a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. We have here, it's interesting how John, as he begins this epistle that he is writing, in the same way that he started his gospel, and he says, that which was from the beginning. And let me first say that there we have in our text found, if we might call it, three different parts. And this first part, the first four verses, this is the testimony or the introduction to the testimony of Christ or to Christ. And so as we go through these first four verses, we will begin to understand that John is opening this epistle that he has written to the introduction of Jesus Christ. And he said, that which was from the beginning. Well, we should already know if we have read the gospel that John has written, or even as Moses began this book, in the beginning. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We even heard that in the song that we sang this morning about the Word being God. This Word that we have before us, this entire book, is God. It is the Word of God. And so we hear of Christ Jesus, and he was, as we all know, from the beginning. And John begins this now, in the beginning. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Let us understand in these first four verses when John says we, or our, or us, he is meaning him and the disciples, as they are introducing in this letter Christ Jesus. He said, that which we have heard, that which we have seen. We know that Jesus Christ, he preached unto his disciples, he preached unto all those that were lost. That's why he said he came to this world, to save those who were lost. But we go back again into the first chapter of John. And let us just read, and we will refer to this a number of times. The same was in the beginning with God. Speaking of Christ Jesus, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We've heard that in our text already, talking of the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Which we also will find in our text of darkness and light. And then John, the Baptist that is, he was sent to bear witness or to testify of this light. In verse 8, he says here, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we see here, as John begins this epistle, or we might say this letter, and it's interesting how John has written three letters here. And if we study the history of John, we find that he was a minister or a pastor, which in those days had the same meaning. But John was, as it was, a pastor, and he would go from one church to another. And if we read into the first chapter of Revelations, where we find of the seven churches, that John was the pastor of all seven of those at times. He would go from one church to another preaching the word. And so we find when John says that, we'll back up just a bit, where we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, The disciples heard Christ Jesus preaching so many times. Jesus would preach to them alone, but also to the multitudes, and they would hear him. And remembering that John is testifying to who Christ is and that he knows them, the disciples knew him. And he says, that which we have seen with our eyes. Obviously, they had seen Christ Jesus right up until his death. And then again, after his death, after his resurrection, Jesus came unto his disciples. And we have heard that story. And how they were afraid when they seen Christ Jesus. When they saw the nail prints in his hands and his feet and where the sword had been thrust into his side. And they saw him again, and it says that they were afraid. And Jesus says, peace be unto you. So as John is here continuing this testimony, he says, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John says that they, meaning the disciples, had touched even Christ Jesus. As he says here, our hands have handled. And let us go back to where in Luke, the 23rd chapter, where Jesus says, and this is where Jesus had appeared unto his disciples after he had risen. And we remember Thomas and how he would not believe. But now Jesus says here, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen me have. Jesus is telling his disciples, touch me. Touch me and see that it is I, the risen Lord Jesus. So we are finding these things here that John is testifying that this is the Christ. He has seen him. He has heard him. He has touched him. And he says, of those things that he is the word of life. We've already heard that in the Gospel of John, that Christ Jesus was the Word and that he is life. We find also in the scriptures where it tells us, where Jesus says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Word and he is the life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. The life was revealed unto the disciples. That's what manifested means. It was revealed to them. They were able to see Christ Jesus now. And he says, and we have seen it and bear witness and testify unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. The disciples had seen Jesus. We have heard that when they met together after his resurrection, they had met with Jesus and they had seen him. It's interesting how we, as we have gone through the Lenten season just now, and we remember the disciples, is so much of this New Testament is the writings of the disciples that were with Jesus together with the Apostle Paul. But it is here now after Christ has risen. And as John is writing this in the years of around 60 to 70, some 25, 30 years after Christ had arisen. Now John is here writing this and he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. John is here writing this letter that he would testify of these things of Christ Jesus, and that he is true. And it is evidence in his testimony that we have seen him, we have heard him, and we have touched him. And it is so wonderful, as John writes, that he has seen him. It was not just before his death, but also after his resurrection. And he says, and they bear witness, or they testify and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father. This is more than just Christ Jesus, but it is also his Father. And when we recognize the triune God, that they are one. And when he says here that, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Eternal life was with the Father. And he gave it to us through his Son. He sent his Son into this world that we can have eternal life by being cleansed with his shed blood. And again, as we remember the Lenten season that we have gone through, and especially the Holy Week when we heard of the suffering of our Lord and Savior, I still wonder, even for my own self, is it possible? Is there any way possible on this earth that we can understand the suffering that Jesus went through? And each one of us, as we say this, say, for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it, as our text concludes, for the whole world. But the suffering that he went through was so immense that we cannot comprehend it. And then we hear, we think we can understand the natural sufferings that Jesus went through, but we will never fully understand what Jesus went through when his Father turned his face away from him. And oh, that we could dwell on this and think on this, of what our Lord and Savior has done for us. It is not something that we would take lightly and say, well, yes, I do believe in what Christ has suffered for me. That was his or his Father's doing. But no, it was the love of God for each one of mankind. And that Jesus willingly suffered a death that we could not do. We could not bear the sufferings that Jesus went through. But now John says, and he's bearing witness and he's testifying, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That it was revealed unto the apostles, as it has also been unto us. But as John is opening this epistle, he is making known of those things that he has seen and heard of the Savior. And it says, and it was manifested unto him, and that was life eternal. Through the risen Lord Jesus, we who believe on him have eternal life. And this was revealed unto John and the apostles. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You see, John did not take these things that he had seen and heard and kept them to himself or the apostles. But he says, we declare it unto you. It was so important that they would share this. This is the fellowship that they will talk about, that they would share with us, with those that were there in those days, and even unto the end of the world. That they would share those things with us. as he says, those things which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So often we do not use in our normal language this word fellowship. But here is John as he's using it, and he says these things that he has declared unto us, that we may have fellowship with them, with Christ Jesus and with the Father. Another word that, and we don't use it much, but we can use in place of fellowship is communion. And we know when we come here to the Lord's Supper that we are having communion with God. Do you see the similarity of using the word fellowship and communion? It is when we are sharing within a part of God that we have fellowship with him. And that we are sharing those things that the Father and his Son has given unto us. And we recognize that this comes through the Holy Spirit. And we hear so often of Christ Jesus and his Father, but the Holy Spirit also being God, and he is with us. Jesus told us that if he did not leave, the Comforter would not come. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and he lives and abides within each one of us. How wonderful it is that when we are there in our time of quiet, that we could recognize and talk with and know that the Holy Spirit is there speaking to us, continually reminding us of what Christ Jesus has done, and that our sins are forgiven in his shed blood. That ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That fellowship that John was talking about, he said that we would have it with him or with them, the apostles. And he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with Christ Jesus. Not that we would just have fellowship with the apostles, which would be wonderful, but that we would have fellowship together with them in Christ Jesus and his Father. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. John is now concluding this testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, and these things write we unto you. Again, this we meaning the apostles. These things that they have written unto us, that we would be joyful in knowing what God has given for each one of us. He says that your joy may be full. Is not our hearts overwhelmed with joy when we hear that gospel message? When we receive it into our hearts, and we know that there are times when God seems so far away. There are times in our life when it seems that we are doing our own things and God has left me. There are times when in our life when we might even complain that, where are you, God? Can't you see that I'm suffering here on this earth? And we turn to the Word. Turn to the Word of God. That is what the disciples here have written. And he says that these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We find joy in the written Word of God, because the Word is Christ Jesus. That is where our joy is fulfilled, in Christ Jesus. because we recognize that our sins have been washed away in His blood. There is no more of the shedding of blood of bulls and goats or any other thing, sacrifice that can take away our sin, but Christ Jesus and Him alone. And He has done the will of His Father, that we may be joyful, that we can be joyful in knowing that our sins are washed away and that we have been cleansed. And so now, as John continues into the verses 5, 6, and 7, he speaks of this light, which we know is Christ Jesus. John has told us in his first gospel, or his gospel message, of the light. And he says here, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." John now is giving this message. And remembering, this is a letter that he has written. "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." He says God is light. And if we understand what John here is speaking of when he speaks of light, it is, we could say, as that there is no sin there. We know that Jesus came to this earth. He was tempted in everything that we have been tempted in, and the scriptures say, yet without sin. We find that there is not possible for sin to be there with God, only that He can take it away. But he says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We recognize where there is light, there is not darkness. The scriptures tell us that the darkness could not comprehend the light. And we understand that darkness means sin. And we can look at natural light and darkness and understand the differences and how light is able to take away darkness, but darkness can never take away light. So we find that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It has been said that darkness is also the devil himself. And when we look into this, we can recognize what John is saying here, what he is declaring unto us. And he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we believe in God, that we have faith in what Christ Jesus has done for us, if we have communion with him, if we share with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we take that which he has given to us, which was his body and his blood." And then he says, "And if we live in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If we recognize these things of God as truths, we cannot walk in darkness. The scripture tells us so plainly right here that if we do walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is so wonderful. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have already heard this morning the psalmist speaking of unity. and this fellowship one with another is unity. Oh, how we as a congregation or a church of Jesus Christ, that we could have fellowship one with another, that we can put our differences aside, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. These things of this earth, as the scriptures tells us, will grow strangely dim, and they will. The things of this earth are not important to our eternal life, but that we would have fellowship. And he says, fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a blessing it is when we can go to a brother or sister and we can have confidence. I may be getting a little bit ahead, but when we can have confidence and knowing that when we have done wrong, that when our fellowship has been marred, that we can go to a brother and sister and we can hear that assurance, as we will hear even of our Savior being an advocate for us. Also, the scriptures tell us that we are ambassadors for him, and that we proclaim the forgiveness of sins to each other. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, John is speaking of the sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And there were those in those days, not that we could name them all, but I'm quite sure some of the scribes and Pharisees who lived up to the law believed they had no sin. And we know that is not the truth. And John so plainly says here, for if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There are two things here that John is saying, that if we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, we understand and recognize how simple it is that if we are to say that we have not sinned, that we deceive ourselves. And that is the truth. And we find in the Bible the way truth is used two ways. And again, the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we are to say that we have no sin, then also Christ Jesus is not in us. You see how John has used this verse to show unto us that we are sinners, but that we are, as we know, sinners saved by grace. And now verse 9, if we confess our sins, he uses this if in both verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We must understand what John is saying here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Before we go any further, I want to go back into the letter to the Romans by the Apostle Paul in the 3rd chapter and read 3 verses there. beginning in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be justified in the justifier of him which believeth in Christ Jesus. We see here where Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, does not say anything about confession. But it is made known a number of times, and here in John, and again in the Epistle of James, that, and John says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We are not talking about salvation here. We are talking about cleansing from sin, that we can live in fellowship with each other because we have forgiven each other. We have already witnessed this morning a forgiveness when we all recited the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And so we confess our sins, that we can be forgiven, that we can live in fellowship, and that our joy would be full. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can also look here that we confess our sins to God. And the psalmist has told us that he forgives us. If we say we have not sinned, again, John says this again as he did in verse 8, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. How much more plainer could John put this? If we are to say that I have not sinned, we make God a liar. And he says, and his word is not in us. And now John says, my little children, these things write I unto you. And let us understand that John is not speaking to just little children. But John, as he has already become an elder, and he is writing to those that were in the churches. And it is it would seem to me quite simple to understand that if John were to write a letter to be read to me today, that he could say to me, my little child. But he says, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I've already mentioned this advocate, but this is someone who will speak in our place. Someone who will go before the judge in our defense. And that is Christ Jesus. He has done that. He has went to his Father. And he says, Father, each one of these here that you have given unto me, I have not lost any, as he says in the high priestly prayer. And he does that for each one of us today. We hear quite often how Christ Jesus intercedes for us daily to the Father. And he does as our advocate. And if we wanted to put it more simple, as even a lawyer in a court of law in our land will be in defense of the person they represent. It might be easy to understand that we will sit there and say not a word, and our attorney will represent us and speak for us. How wonderful it is to know that Christ Jesus proclaims unto his Father that this man or this person I have washed clean with my blood, and they are guiltless. That they are guiltless before you. Their sin has been atoned for, as we hear in our concluding verse. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Christ Jesus is the sacrifice. He is the payment for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When we understand here that the scriptures tell us of Christ Jesus being our sacrifice, and we have heard that this past weeks a number of times, and we rejoice in it, knowing that he was a sacrifice for us. But also, even as the prophet Isaiah has told us, not for us only, but the whole world. Oh, that when we see those that are suffering, see those who do not know Christ Jesus as their Savior, that we can bring that gospel to them and tell them of the joy in Christ Jesus, that he has died for the whole world. It does not matter how sinful a man may be. Christ has paid the debt. He has been the propitiation for the whole world. And we can leave here with confidence in knowing that our sins have been cleansed, past, present, and future, through Jesus' shed blood. In his name, amen. Let us give thanks and pray. Gracious and eternal living God, we give thanks unto you for this holy word that you have preserved for us. We give thanks to you for your love in sending your Son Jesus, and his love that he went to the cross and he suffered and he died for each one of us, and most of all for his glorious resurrection, in which we have attained eternal life through him. Father, we give thanks for all things. We give thanks for this time that we are here together, that we are in this sanctuary where your word is kept, where your word is proclaimed. We give thanks, Father, for all things that you give to us, and even the natural things. And we give thanks, Father, for those that you have healed, those that you are healing, and for those who are in need, that you are there with them, and that you are comforting and healing each one. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless us, that you would be with each one of us as we go from here and continue this walk of life, or this journey, or this warfare, that we would continue until that day when Jesus comes again and the eastern skies are open and he comes to receive us. Thank you, Father. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.